is a Rabble Podcast Network show. New voices in your head. It's Radio Free Radio.
I'm sitting here with Kate Garvey, who's a university student, and she lives in Peterborough. So, Kate, tell us about your experiences at the protests against the G20 this past June 26th and 27th weekend in Toronto.
So I actually went down on the Friday, and I participated in the shout out for social justice, and that was amazing, and it was nice to see all of the leaders, or true leaders, who were there, like Vandana Shiva and Maude Barlow. And then Naomi Klein sort of called on everyone to march with her to Allen Gardens to show solidarity for migrant justice in the march that had happened that afternoon.
Was this on the Saturday?
This is on the Friday.
Friday evening.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. This is at Massey Hall on the Friday evening. So then the crowd was probably older than your average, you know, activist protest crowd. Mm-hmm. It was an older crowd, and I wasn't really expecting that many people to actually walk out with Naomi Klein at 10:30 at night and walk to Allen Gardens, but I would say over half the people in the building walked out, like 1,000 people just walked out of the building at the end of the speeches and walked to Allen Gardens, and it was amazing.
Wow.
So that was an amazing way to start the weekend, and I was really feeling really positive about it.
Yeah.
And so then got to Allen Gardens, and there was the tent city set up. And that was really great.
Can you talk a bit about the tent city?
I don't know too much about the tent city, but the tent city was set up to bring awareness to homelessness in the city. And it didn't seem too large, but the next morning I was watching the news trying to see if they had, you know, talked about the fact that 1,000 people marched straight over there from Massey Hall, and there was nothing on the news about that.
Mm-hmm.
Or on mainstream news, but there was information about Tent City, and there was a few people from Ontario Coalition Against Poverty speaking from Tent City. And then I went over to the march and went from the student feeder march from U of T over to where did everyone meet?
I went to Queen's Park.
Queen's Park. Mm-hmm. Over to Queen's Park and met there, and then marched from there. The feeling that I was getting was really positive. Like, there was, like, so many people there. Everyone had their signs, and it was so clear that there were so many issues that people felt really strongly about. And when I got to Queen and Spadina, there was, you know, there was a division of people staying back and continuing on the march, but everyone seemed peaceful. And then, so we got back to Queen's Park, and it looked like everything was sort of clearing out, and actually one of my friends from Ghana was there for the march. She was marching for maternal health, and she works for a human rights organization in Ghana. So we were meeting up with her, and we went and met up with her. And she was so excited because Ghana had won the football match that afternoon in the World Cup. So we had dinner with her, and then as we're sitting at dinner, we see on the news, like, police cars burning and tear gas being used at Queen's Park, and we can't believe it. And it was just so strange talking to my friend from Ghana about this, who's come to Canada, and she was actually on a course to learn about democracy, which was a huge joke. So she was there, and she was telling us about how the course talked about how to identify if your government was democratic, a dictatorship, or in transition. So she was talking about how they had decided that Ghana was in transition and Canada was democracy, and then you're watching this happen, and then it was just so, it was embarrassing, you know, like, and then, so, Sunday, I was going back to Peterborough, so I was walking with my friend to the bus station, and as we were coming along, we came along Dundas, so we see this guy suddenly get surrounded by, probably 10 officers. This one guy, he's just walking along the street with a bag. It's the bus station, so everyone has bags.
Yeah.
And
he looked kind of dressed in a certain way.
He was wearing black, and he was black. Like, he was a minority, so that's probably why he was targeted. But, I mean, he looked like the average person walking down the street. He wasn't dressed, you know, with a bandana covering his face, right, or, you know, like, heavy black clothing or anything that would, you know, identify him as black bloc. And he was stopped and searched for no reason. So we were like, what's going on? And then we look up and there's this guy just being thrown against a wall.
This was a different guy.
This is a different guy across the street from us. He's being thrown against the wall and then thrown to the ground, and there's like 8 cops on him using obviously way more force than necessary, like hitting him.
How young did he
look? I would say he was in his mid-20s.
Okay.
And then his friend has run across the street and is getting pushed back across the street, and this cop's yelling at him, stay away or else we'll arrest you too. So we stopped to talk to this guy.
Ethnically marginal?
No. So we stopped to talk to this guy, and they didn't have anything with them. They were wearing like shorts and a t-shirt. And we stopped to talk to this guy because he was freaking out. Obviously, his friend's been thrown to the ground. He's being arrested by cops, yelled at. And they weren't even, they had nothing to do with the G20 protests or anything. They were there for their PhD, for its conference on their PhDs at a nearby hotel. Mm-hmm. So they had gone out for lunch and were walking back, and they had seen someone taking photographs be stopped, and he was being searched by the police, and he was saying, you don't have any right to do this, and the police were being really rough with him. So the
physically rough?
Yes.
Okay.
So the man's friend had gone across the road to say, are we near the fence? Like, why are you doing this? Are we in a security zone? Do you have a right? Because at that time we thought that they had a right within 5 meters of the fence, right?
Right.
And as soon as he asked that question, he was just thrown against the wall. He didn't...
That's disgusting.
Yeah. I just felt so bad for this man because he was just like so shocked for his friend and was so worried about his friend. His friend had visible already had huge bruising on his knees and on his... He had cuts on his head, I think.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, so we were trying to help this man, so we gave him the phone number that everyone had been given for legal defense.
Mm-hmm.
And they wouldn't tell him where they were taking him or anything. One police officer came over to talk to us and asked if we knew this person, and he said it was his friend. And then just I said, what is he being arrested for? And he started screaming at me, searched my purse for no reason.
What did he say to you?
He just started screaming, what's in your purse? And I was like, it's my purse, my wallet. Like, he's like, open it and search my purse. And at this point, I was just like, it's ridiculous. So I start trying to say, this man has nothing to do with even protesting. I mean, he's a bystander.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you're all responsible for this. I said, what does that mean?
Yeah. Talk about what the police were saying as well when they were handling that other man, when they were physically assaulting those two PhD students.
That was another officer came over again, and I was saying there's a difference between peaceful protest and what you're saying the Black Bloc did.
Okay.
And he said, well, you know, they're terrorists and they're in our sewers and they're contaminating our water, and that means we would all die. And I was like, yeah, we would all die? You really think that people are trying to kill innocent civilians?
Or that we drink the sewer water?
Also that, yeah.
Also, wasn't there a police officer saying things like, Harper is pissed, this will never happen
in
Toronto?
Both of the officers multiple times said, like, this will never happen again. And then this one guy kept on saying, Harper's pissed. Like, I can't even guarantee that your friend's going to be released on bail because Harper's pissed. And I was like, what does Harper have to do with the justice system? It's not a dictatorship. And it was just, it was insane to see the rationale that the police gave for their actions.
Yeah. Was the ethnically marginalized fellow, was he young as well?
I would say he was in his 20s. I don't know. I saw him walking. He was probably detained for about half an hour because I saw him walking into the bus station after. And then, actually, as we were standing there, someone came out of the restaurant where the guy had been thrown up against the window and then brought to the ground and beaten by the police. And he had taken pictures, and the police had seen him taking pictures. And they had come in, deleted all of his pictures, and he had said, you don't have a right to do this. And they said, it's a different world today. Basically, you have no rights today.
Yeah.
So he gave his card in as a witness to the friend to say he would be a witness if anything happened. And they said they were charging his friend with assault and resisting arrest, which neither had happened.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then we were sitting down, and I was writing down these quotes from the police officers at the time. And then they came and told us that we had to leave or else we would be searched or arrested. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, I'm waiting for a bus. because it was right outside the bus station, and they said, "Well, just move away." And then as we were just sort of walking slowly to the bus station, I saw two other girls who were suddenly stopped because they had been taking pictures, I think.
Right. Oh gosh.
And one girl, I think they're both from Guelph. One girl was handcuffed.
They
searched all of her stuff, opened the laptops, looked like they went through the laptops, deleted pictures off their cameras. It was really shocking. And then it just didn't seem to end, and we went into the bus station, and there was this really, really elderly gentleman.
The Greyhound? Okay.
Yeah, at Bay and Dundas. Mm-hmm. And he was trying to get the person at the ticket booth to give him a ticket that would work for today because he had been arrested the night before at Queen's Park.
Right.
And so his return ticket wouldn't work for Sunday instead of Saturday. So they told him if he paid for a student ticket, they'd give it to him.
Oh my gosh.
Then he was asking for money from people, and one woman was just being so rude and, like, humiliating him, basically. She gave him a dollar and then said, "What do you say?" Like, "Please and thank you." And then she said, "What did you do?" And he said, "I didn't do anything. Like, I was released without being charged. Like, I didn't do anything."
Right.
And she's like, "Well, what about the cars?" Which, because that's just been flashed on the media for, right? Like, that's the only clip they have playing 24 hours a day on, you know, CBC and all those. And he said, he thought she said cows, and I felt so bad. And he said, "I have to get home to milk my cows." And he was a farmer for the OFA.
Whoa.
Yeah, and he was just there fighting for, you know, better treatment of farmers. Yeah, it was really shocking.
Any other experience that you recall that was really unexpected and horrific? This is just freaking martial law.
Yeah, it was terrifying. And the thing that I hated the most was I recognized one of the girls being arrested, right? And I knew that she was friends with my brother, and I wanted to go over and ask if she was okay. But at that point, I was like, if I go over, I just watched them throw someone to the ground and beat them, and I shouldn't have to make that choice when I'm going to ask the police a question if I want to be arrested for asking a question.
Right.
I shouldn't have to make that choice.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just so disappointing. I was scared to let my friend walk home alone from the bus station because we'd just been involved with them, and I didn't know if they saw her alone they would wonder what she was doing. Yeah, it was definitely scary, and the police officers, just the things they were saying were so outrageous.
Yes, so nonsensical.
So, a couple of times they said, "Well, don't worry about your friend, like, we're not going to beat him up when we get him there," or something. And I was like, "Well, why would you say that? That makes me feel like you're doing that to other people."
Yes.
They also said, "We're not going to steal his money." And then right when I went into the bus station, that man was saying, "I don't have any money. I don't have my wallet." So I was thinking,
oh my gosh,
was his wallet taken by the police? Because he was arrested too. And
they're so shallow.
Now so many people are coming out with that, right? Like, so many people had their cameras taken and not given back, their wallets taken.
I know a lot of
their
people's possessions were just never returned, but I can't believe that they're taking their wallets, too.
Yeah.
There are thefts in so many, in the lowest level.
But at least it seems like, because of this, people who wouldn't normally speak out are speaking out. So, I mean, in Peterborough, there's a lot of people who wouldn't normally be politicized about something like this, or they would go to the protest but then stop. They seem to be speaking out about what happened to them, and hopefully it's going to bring greater awareness, but it's hard when the media is not covering it adequately at all.
Mm-hmm. What do you see as hope for the future? What do you see can help bring people to work towards not letting this happen, not letting this to be such a repressive state, not letting it to be normalized?
It's scary, because it seems like it's setting a precedent, right? And it's scary that McGuinty thinks that he doesn't need to apologize for, you know, putting in place a law, or is that what you call it, a law, or temporary law or something for the 5 meter, and then knowing that they gave out the wrong information and then not publicizing that that wasn't true. And he doesn't feel like he needs to apologize for that, and that the chief of police in Toronto is commending his officers. And but it sounds like I was hearing today that there's going to be a public inquiry, so that's promising.
Yeah. So public pressure does work, and at least it does something.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a beginning of something.
And I guess it's bringing together, because there were so many people at the march, and they were all marching for different things, but this brings everyone together, because everyone felt that oppression.
Yes.
So hopefully this will help
even
bring
people
about.
Not protesting.
Yeah, even people not protesting.
Hmm.
I mean, you have to hope that it will bring about some sort of positive change.
Yeah, we really do have to create the world that we want to live in. We can't just think that it's happened chance, because obviously it's not.
Yeah, and at least I think this gives, I think there's like a false trust in government and police by a lot of people. And I think this makes them realize that they can't just trust that people are doing the right thing when they have positions of power.
Oh, yeah.
So hopefully it sends that message out strongly.
Anything else, Kate? Any positive message you want to leave? That was pretty positive. All right. Well, thanks so much, Kate.
No problem.
Yeah.